It is critical that you know you are forgiven forever, that you have a faith, a life that lasts. That's what I want to talk to you about today before we come to the Lord's table and take the cup and eat of the bread. We need to make sure that our life is on a sure, solid rock foundation, that our life in Christ is lasting and living, living and lasting. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. We're in a series of messages in the Gospel of Luke, and we come to the conclusion of our Lord's message to his disciples, the Sermon on the Mount given in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and this Sermon on the Level given to his disciples specifically, very similar to the Sermon on the Mount, but most Bible scholars believe this is a different presentation of many of the same truths that Jesus gave to his followers. And so the greatest sermon ever preached. And at the conclusion, Jesus tells a story. And it is a very familiar story and one that is very simple. And yet, underscoring this story is the most important truth that you can learn. Whether your house, your life is built upon Christ and therefore lasting forever, or if your life is built on nothing, and when life bottoms out and the storms come and rage against your life, there's nothing left to hold you up, and therefore the collapse of your life. So there's a contrast here between life as Jesus has designed it and built as Jesus has given us, and a life that has no foundation. Before we read the scripture today, what's most important, what I want you to hear today is this. I want to ask you a question. Is your faith real? Because, you know, there are a lot of posers today in life. In fact, one of the fads of our culture is the reality television show. Now, I don't know how much reality TV you've been watching. If you've been watching much, you don't have enough to do, okay? But the rage of reality television right now is a thing called Duck Dynasty. Anybody here care to admit that you watch Duck Dynasty? All right, God bless you. I think the head of the Duck Dynasty fan club is our own teaching pastor, Jared Stevens. I've noticed that people from Louisiana like this reality television show. It's about some good old boys and their wives who live outside of Monroe, Louisiana, or as they say down south, Monroe, Louisiana. And they made a fortune, like Beverly Hillbillies years ago. They didn't strike oil, they started making duck calls. And they have made a fortune, apparently, on duck calls. So they're riding in Bentleys, they got five rings on their fingers, they've all, you know, they look like hillbillies, long, long hair. Now, I watched this show, they got Uncle Cy, and I'm watching this show because Jarrett told me I should watch it. And in the first episode, I'm just saying, really? Really? Because I suspect that these guys and their gals are posing and performing a little bit. Now, their life may be a little bit like they say it is, but so much of reality TV is just unreality. It's just performance. Is it real? Sort of like you ask professional wrestling, is it real? And there's some people here that still think pro wrestling is real, all right? I was up in New York not long ago, and I went over there to Chinatown, and there was a gentleman there selling watches. And there were great watches there at a great price. They're selling Rolexes at an unbelievable price there. I read one sign, it said, "Genuine imitation Rolexes sold here." Is it real? Is it not real? I don't want your life to be a bad reality TV show. I want my life and your life to be built on something that is solid, strong, and stable. Because when storms come, and they do come, no life is storm-proof. We all face the tides and the tempest of life and hardships and struggles in life. And when the storms of life rage against us and our house, it is whether or not we are built upon a strong foundation, a solid foundation, the foundation that is in Jesus Christ, or else nothing. That is whether or not our lives will last or whether or not they will not last. The Apostle Paul said before we come to the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians 11:28 that everyone should examine his own life. Before we eat the bread and drink of the cup, we should all examine our own lives. The Lord's Supper is a time certainly to look back to what Christ has done for us. It is a time to look up in worship to our Lord. It's a time to look around. We call this the communion, the fellowship of His supper. It is a time to look forward, because the scripture says, as often as we drink this cup, we do show the Lord's death until He comes. And so we come not to mourn a corpse, but to hail a king, because Christ is coming again. It is a time to look up, a time to look around. It's a time to look back. It's a time to look forward. But it's a time to look within and examine our own hearts, because frankly, there are many people sitting in churches today taking communion, just as we are taking communion today, who have no foundation because they don't have Christ in their lives. They're in church, but not in Christ. They have not possessed what they have professed. That's what Jesus is talking about at this very stinging conclusion to his sermon. So begin reading with me at verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Would you bow with me in prayer? Oh Lord, open our eyes to your word today and our hearts to the truth of what Jesus is telling us in this important passage of Scripture. We pray for the work of your Holy Spirit now in response to your word and to your truth. And may we always act in obedience to what we hear by what we do. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Yes, there are always imitators and posers, the fakers, who say one thing and do something else, who say they are Christians, but in reality are not. Now, I want us to be especially careful today, because you may be thinking, I wish so-and-so was here today to hear this message. I want you to draw a circle around your life and hear this message. I'm not asking you, is someone else a Christian? I'm asking, are you a Christian? It's not, is so-and-so a Christian? I want you to ask yourself the question today, am I a Christ follower? Am I a Christian? Am I a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? And Jesus tells us there is a way that we can know. We must know. We need to know. We can know. And Jesus said, here's how you know. Check your foundation. Look underneath. Here are two men. One hurriedly builds a house with no foundation, just on sand. Here's another man who builds his house, very similar. So, you know, they have the same aspirations. They want a home. They want a place to live, a place for their family. They build a house, one on sand. The other takes the time. Jesus said, digs down deep at a cost. He works hard, but before he builds on top, he builds this foundation. And then when the storm comes, the test is given as to how the house or the life is built. Check the foundation. It's all about verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Notice this is public, is personal. Why do you call me? Why do you call me as public? Lord, Lord is passionate. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Now, let me just put this on pause for a moment and say, we're not talking here about struggling Christians. Christians who sin, because we all sin. We're not talking about someone who fails and stumbles in the Christian life. But we're talking about the difference between someone who knows Christ and someone who doesn't. Someone who is living the life and someone who's not living the life. Someone who is real and someone who is not real. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and do not obey me?" Now that's a simple truth. But it's one that we so often miss. The truth is, Jesus will change and transform your life when you come to Him, when you are really changed from within, when you are converted. What is a real Christian? You ask the average person in your neighborhood, at your office, you'll get an answer something like this. Well, a Christian is somebody who goes to church. They read their Bible, keep the Ten Commandments, live by the Sermon on the Mount, obey the Golden Rule, be a good person, live a good life, believe in God, believe in Jesus. Well, you can do all of these things and believe these things and not be a Christian. Now, if you are a Christian, you will want to do these things and more. But you can do all of these things but not be changed from within, not be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. For example, you can pray and not be a Christian. Statistics show that most people in America pray to something or someone. Many pray to Jesus. But you can pray to God, you can pray to Jesus, and not be saved. You can make visible changes in your life. Decide to straighten up, walk the straight and narrow. Modify your behavior, stop doing certain things, start doing other things. You can change the way you live your life externally and not be a Christian. You can participate in the ceremonies of your church, the Lord's Supper, and baptism, and not be a bona fide believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be a member of a church. You can be a leader in the church, a deacon, a member of the choir, a Sunday school teacher, and not personally know Christ. I've seen it many times. Listen to me. You can be the pastor of the church and not be saved. In the parallel passage of Luke 6 and the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, on that day of judgment, many will say, did we not perform many works in your name? Did we not proclaim your word? Did we not raise the dead? Did we not cast out demons? Jesus says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you. So it's possible to preach and to teach and to lead. It's the most terrifying thought in all of the Bible, to think that you are saved and you are not saved. That is why it is critical today, and the burden of my heart today is to so preach that you will examine your own life and settle for certain that you are planted on the rock that is Jesus Christ. That you know Jesus Christ, that you're constructing your life upon Him. A rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus told him to keep the commandments. He claimed that he kept the commandments, though he hadn't. There was covetousness in his heart. But ultimately, he walked away from Jesus. He did not follow Jesus. Though he kept the commandments, he was unwilling to commit his life to follow Jesus Christ. The illustration of Judas, we preached on Judas Iscariot several weeks ago. Judas was the ultimate insider. He heard the messages of Jesus. This message in Luke 6, he listened at the Sermon on the Mount. Beyond that, he had personal and private conversations with our Lord, up close and personal. He had a front row seat to the life of Jesus. He saw the miracles. He watched as Jesus walked on the water. He was there when Jesus healed blind eyes and touched leprous bodies and made them clean. Judas Iscariot was there when Jesus spoke and said, "Lazarus, come out of that grave," and a dead man rose. He saw every bit of that. And yet, he betrayed our Lord with a kiss. He was so close that he kissed him goodbye. And with it, life goodbye. I'm simply saying that it is possible to be very, very close to Jesus and not know Jesus. And it is too terrifying, too great a thought, a possibility for any of us to neglect. And therefore, we examine our own lives. The Apostle Paul said, "Examine your life and see if you be in the faith." We're here to build faith. I'm not here to create doubt, but I am concerned about many who say one thing and do something else. And you know who I'm talking about if you're really taking this to heart. You know if you're living for Christ or not. You know you're obeying God or you're obeying God or not. You know if this is all a sham and you're just going through the motions and going to church every now and then. You know if it's real or not. Say, "Well, what about grace? What about grace? What about faith? I thought salvation was all about grace, all about faith." Yes, it is. But grace never leaves us where grace found us. And faith alone, without works, according to the Scripture, does not save. You say, "Where does it say that?" Well, you're in Luke chapter 6. Just go to the book of James. Go to the book of James chapter 2. And let me introduce you to the other side of faith, and that is works. Verse 14 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith?" Notice he just says he has faith, not that he has faith, but he says he has faith, but does not have works. Can that faith save him? In other words, can a workless faith save? Verse 17, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Now, is James saying something different than, for example, the Apostle Paul, who said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast"? Is the scripture contradicting itself? Are these two men in conflict? Absolutely not. When we talk about God's grace and faith, we're talking about the provision of salvation. James is talking about the proof of salvation. It's the difference between the root and the fruit. The difference between the foundation and the building. It's the difference between having not only a know-so faith, but a show-so faith. And Jesus says there are two kinds of people. Those who hear and do the will of God, the word of God, my word, my will, and those who don't. Two kinds of people. Those whose lives will last because they're built on a sure and solid foundation of faith in Jesus Christ. And those who do not what he says and therefore bottom out in life. It's the difference between those who hear the word of God and those who do the word of God. And if you are a believer, you will do the word of God. You will do the will of God. If you went to Germany, a little place called Lubbock, Germany. Yes, there is a place called Lubbock in Germany. Lubbock, I guess. But there is an old cathedral with these words inscribed. Thus speaketh Christ our Lord to us. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. The faith that saves works. Genuine, bona fide believers obey God in the way they live their lives. Again, not perfectly, but progressively, we become more and more like Christ. The direction of your life is changed. That's called conversion. It's called repentance. And unrepentant, unchanged people are not saved according to Jesus. And here's how you can know. When the storms of life blow, when some tornado of temptation is unleashed against you, when some great flood tide of suffering or illness, when your life bottoms out financially, when there is a great storm in your life, if you are built upon Christ, you will run to the rock. You will stand upon the rock that is Christ. Otherwise, you sink like sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Christ is the solid rock. Any other rock is a sham rock. Christ is the solid rock. And the test of life, the trials of life that blow against us, and you can expect those winds to blow. You can certainly expect those trials to come. When they do, this tests your faith, and the faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. A faith that can't be shaken is built upon a life that has been shaken and stood in Christ. So how is it with you? I've seen over the years storms strike church members and they run away and they abandoned faith. And we wonder, what happened? Did they lose their faith? Never had it. And the winds and the storms demonstrated that their life was built on sand. 3 years ago, when I was told I had cancer, the first thing I did was, of course, read my Bible and pray. And the Lord prompted me to pull that great hymn, part of which we sang this morning, "How Firm a Foundation, You Saints of the Lord, is laid for His saints in His most excellent word." That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never, no never, no never forsake. And when that storm of suffering came upon me, and thank God for His healing and His grace and deliverance, but when that storm, in the thick of that storm, when I found myself at the bottom, I found solid rock. And I thank God, not because of me, but because of Him, that there is a foundation upon which I can stand, and you can stand upon that foundation, because I guarantee you, one day your storm will come. You're either in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. How's your foundation? How's your life built? Is it built upon the Lord Jesus Christ? The storms will test your faith and your foundation, but Jesus will sustain you. He will be your strength and your stability. He is the rock to which we run. He is the rock that is our Redeemer. Do you know Him? Or do you have a hand-me-down faith? Hand-me-down faith won't last. Say, well, my parents believe. Okay, good. Do you believe? Well, my friends at church are believers. Okay, great. Are you a believer? Don't rely upon your parents' faith, your friends' faith, your pastor's faith, because people will let you down. I could let you down. Don't build your life on anyone or anything but Christ. Christ is the one and only true foundation. Storms will come out of nowhere. That's the indication here in the story that Jesus tells. He tells it all almost like He was living here in North Texas, where these storms just come out of nowhere. Even Pete Delkas can't identify them. And they're on you before you know it. That's what Jesus is saying can happen to anyone whose life, who lives this life, that these storms just suddenly appear out of nowhere, and therefore prepare. You might say this is a storm warning, because the storms not only of this life, but Jesus spoke of the storms of the final days, and we're certainly living in a last day scenario. The signs of the times are multiplying. It's not going to get better, it's going to get worse for America, for the world. A storm is on the way. Will you stand? A judgment is coming. Ultimately, every person is going to stand before Holy God. And if you stand alone with no foundation, there's nothing to keep you from falling into hell. But if you stand in Christ, the solid rock, there will be strength, there will be stability, there will be salvation in your life when you stand before God. Let everyone examine their own life.